If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Hosea, chapter 7. Now, if you don't know where Hosea is, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. See, there it is. Just go to the table of contents and you can find it. Of all the prophets of the Bible that the Lord called to do his work, they're the major prophets, Daniel, Ezekiel, Isaiah. Then you have the minor prophets. Not that they less. It said that greater revelations and things had been given to the majors. But it took, to keep a major, you have to have a minor. And before you can get to a major, you have to be a minor. And to understand that, just think of baseball. You got the minor leagues, you got the major leagues. Not that the minor ball players are less, they're not. It just what happens is they get called up to go to the major. In other words, they walk the walk instead of just talk the talk. And before you know it, they're called up. They call it being called up. And they may become part of the Yankees or the St. Louis Cardinals or whatever, whoever you like, you know, and things of that nature. And God will bless you. Of all the prophets, Hosea is the most poetical. He's the most poetical in his teaching, in his preaching, in his oratory. And he's very good at what he does. And he has a way of saying things that's truly amazing that the Lord recorded and placed in holy canon. And in Hosea chapter 7, I want to read a very familiar scripture, and I'm going to explain something as I read this. Hosea chapter 7, one little verse, verse 8. It says, Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Let me say it again. I'm going to read that again. Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Title of this message this morning is Cooked on One Side and Raw on the Other. I guess I got a poetical way of looking at things myself. Cooked on one side and raw on the other. Now, why do we really ask you to believe the word concerning being debt free and all the other things that the Lord has spoken for us to believe this year? I realize that the church world, a lot of times, is cooked on one side and raw on the other. It looks good until you cut into it and eat it. It's like a tree that's beautiful, then you bust into this bark, you find it eat up with ants, and it just falls over. Cooked on one side and raw on the other. The reason why we're believing for you to be debt free, because we believe the church has mixed itself up with the world. God has always wanted a separate people. He said, come out from amongst the wicked. Didn't he say that? He said, shun the very appearance of evil. Not that that evil is stronger than you are, because you are greater as he was in you than he was in the world. Now, Miss Oprah Winfrey has a problem with a word called jealous. Yes, she does. If you heard her say that, it really bothered her when she was at a church and you heard a preacher say that God's a jealous God. We say that in French, jaloux. And she thought, wait a minute. See, she picked up the natural definition of the word jealous. Is no person ever been created or will be created that God's jealous of? God is the supreme. What that meant, but she picked it up from the definition of what jealous means in our own natural terminology. What she meant, what she thought was, my God just gets mad at this person, get mad. No. What he's saying is, he said he's a jealous God because he expects a separate people. Why did he say for us to become lenders instead of borrowers? So that you would be separate from the world, so that you wouldn't be mixed up like Ephraim. Ephraim began to mix itself up. And that's why today you can't only tell what sin is and what's not sin. It's amazing how ministers can commit adultery, steal, lie, and cheat, and get out the pulpit for 3 weeks to 6 weeks, and they go back into it, and before you know it, bless God, they're back doing what they got to do. Now, you know, and what's so funny is the church, a lot of the church people accept it. Now, that's called mixed up. Oh, you hearing what I'm saying? Now, that doesn't mean God doesn't forgive. He does forgive. And we use that. And I've said this in other sermons. I'll say it again. I've had some guys that are really messed up and they go, you know, David, you know, we know David committed adultery with Bathsheba and he killed her husband. Then he committed adultery. But David is not your example. Jesus is your example. Now, can't you understand why the secular humanistic world wants Jesus to have sexual relationships with Mary Magdalene? Why? Because he's too high of an example, so we got to bring him down to the David part. You see that? So with Oprah, and if you're watching today, you misunderstood. I can help you. I know what I'm talking about. And I don't need a number one bestseller book to figure it out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, cooked on one side, raw on the other. What that means simply is God expects us all to be a separate people in every area of our lives. In other words, we ought to have a hard time sinning. We ought to have a hard time getting into greed. To be totally separate from the world. That's amazing. I mean, I love young people, and I was young once. But it's amazing that we always look for other people to determine what we should wear, when we should determine fashion. Now, when you get legalistic, when you get homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological, you don't dress very well. You get plain. Now, that's religion. The religion that started, that preached against makeup is a sad religion. That's a sad religion. Kathy looks good without makeup, but she look a lot better with it. Not that she ugly. By no means. But she just look. Well, God created things in the earth so we could look better. You find some of these sects and things. You know, these people, what do you call them? What they call them things? I got the word I'm trying to... these cults and sex. You ever notice how the ladies look? Gag-a-maggot ugly. Don't know how to fix their hair. Usually they wear one color of clothing. And as I've said before, they try to cover up because they don't want nobody to lust after them. Ladies, let me help you. And you are especially Muslim. Let me help you. I know you want to cover that woman up from the top of her head to the soles of her feet and give her a little screen to look through. And if you think you're going to stop a man from lusting, let me tell you what the man's thinking. Wonder what's under that dress. That don't work. But then you can't let a pendulum swing so far and your dress is so high and your blouse is so low that you don't give anybody, you know. And vice versa. With men the same way. I realize that this generation, they all want to show you their box of drawers. Those men, they want to show you. Have you ever thought if somebody would try to run you down, you'd get caught? You'd run right out of your pants. Now, I know what you're saying. He just, oh, no, I'm not old. That's not the issue. I wear boxers myself. I ain't showing them to you, but I wear boxers myself. That's not the issue. I don't know. But my point is, why don't we be what God said? Let people look at us not in shame, but in, woo, I want to be what they are. Well, let me tell you why. Because we're cooked on one side and raw on the other. We have mixed ourselves up in a lot of areas with the world. And you can't tell the difference between the world or God's people. Now, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Man is like a cake. He has his warm side to the earth and his cold side to heaven. Man is like a cake. He has his warm side to the earth and his cold side to heaven. He's always trying to look for, if I can just get people to love me and like me. That means your warm side is to the earth, but your cold side is to God. What is God thinking about you? You see what I'm saying? Why I want everybody debt free, everybody healed, everybody blessed, because that's a totally separate people from the world. Well, I want you to live by your giving instead of making a living so you can get away from the curse economic package of working by the sweat of your brow. Because I don't care how much you sweat, it's not enough to meet what you need in life. Notice you're working just to meet what you need. When you, my Lord, when you should work, people say, well, you mean I don't have to work? No, because the economic package before the curse was they still work. What did they work? What was their work? To keep and dress the blessing God gave them. But it wasn't by the sweat of their brow. It was by simply obedience to God. Isn't that amazing? So man is like a cake. He has his warm side to earth and his cold side to heaven. Now you can tell when people start getting mixed up when they're cooked on one side, raw on the other. An ill-developed life is in danger of being wholly ruined. Write it down. And I say that because some of you take notes. An ill-developed life is in danger of being wholly ruined. Revelation chapter 3 verse 15 and 16 said, thou art neither cold nor hot. God don't like lukewarm nothing. I know something about coffee. The woman loves coffee. All my family loves coffee except me. I don't drink coffee. Oh, because you think it's a sin? No, because it don't taste good. Now, if it would taste like it smell, that would be fine. It smells wonderful. But it don't taste like it smell. And Kathy said, no, it tastes exactly how it smells. Now, that's her problem. She's infected. All you coffee dreamers are infected with that. It tastes exact. It's bitter. You got to get. Have you ever gave a? I tell you how you can tell if coffee is good. Just take a little bit black coffee and give it to a baby. A baby will do this. But as you drink it and you cultivate a taste for it, we've cultivated a taste of debt. We've cultivated a taste of sickness. Well, you know, by saying that, well, you know, sometimes God does and sometimes he don't. So we get used to God not healing. When the Bible says by his stripes you were healed, before you ever got sick, he had an answer for you. It's just like the pharmacist. Before you ever get sick, the medicine's on the shelf. They learned that from God. The provision is there before you need someone to use it. So an ill-deformed life or ill-developed life is in danger of being wholly ruined. So people say, but Jesse, how come you're always happy? Well, I tried sad. I didn't like it. I don't like lukewarm. Kathy like hot coffee. How many of you like hot food? I like hot food. Now, you can eat a cold sandwich. It's good every once in a while. But I tell you what, you eat you 2 or 3 days eating a cold sandwich, you start looking, what's the matter? The stove broke? You know, and our stove has been broken for over 20 years. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But Kathy's going to put a new Viking stove. We're going to have Viking stuff. And I don't know what for. It'll last forever because it ain't going to be you. But anyway, I don't want to talk about that. I'm just joking. I know she's saying you're a cake cooked on one side and raw on the other. You thought I was off that sermon? No, I'm not. Now, how do you know when you're raw on one side or you're cooked on one side and raw on the other? There's a little word that'll help you. It's called criticism. Write this down. Watch for decay and degeneration. The habit of criticism grows as faith declines. Let me say it again. Watch for decay and degeneration. The habit of criticism grows as faith declines. You can take it to the bank. See, when you begin to degenerate and decay, you begin to start looking like the world. Oh, shout me down when I'm preaching good. I've seen some pastors' wives want to be so fashionable, they're beginning to look like the world. Don't shout me down. And men too. Now, what, there's some good things in the world, but I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Your morality begins to lessen. After a while, it's okay to just live with each other. No, let me tell you what that is. That's fornication. You are using that woman and she's using you without any responsibility to each other. God said, you want to sleep with that woman? Yeah, Lord. You want to sleep with that man? Uh-huh. Sign the contract. Amen. Amen. Now, I know that's totally against what the world teaches, but I am separate from the world. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying? Then you get some of these lying men that commit adultery. Well, the reason why I had to commit adultery is because my wife don't want to have sex with me. Oh, this and that. That's a lie. Lie, you fry. You ever notice how pretty some men's wives are and how ugly some of these women they mess around with? Their wives are beautiful. Then here comes some sweat hog of a woman. And they lose their whole life in men. You know why? Because you are decaying and degenerating and becoming like the world. And then you criticize the goodness that God gave you. Come on, ladies, you should have shouted right there. See, you cooked on one side and raw on the other. Beware, let me say it again, that the habit of criticism grows as faith declines. So watch for decay and degeneration. You see what I'm saying? You can be just as passionate with your wife as you was with some hussy. Don't shout me down. You can. Now, ladies, there ain't no such thing as I got a headache. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. There is no such thing as I got a headache. Your body is not you. Shout, men, I'm helping you out here. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, baby, get the feeling. Because your husband say, I got a feeling. Everything. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But you know what I'm saying. And vice versa. Look at the men. I tell you, I'm buying 3 copies of this sermon. And my body's not my own. That's a fact. So anytime you want to use my body, Kathy, just go ahead and help yourself. Come on, man, help me out up here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I like this sermon. I'm going to buy 3 copies myself. So you watch for decay and degeneration. The habit of criticism grows as faith declines. Notice when a church begins to go down, when criticism gets involved in it. That's decay and degeneration. That is cooked on one side and raw on the other. You're not willing to flip yourself over and cook yourself so you can be right. So you just decay along with the crowd. I refuse to be in debt. I'm not against borrowing money. I refuse to be in debt. Amen. I want to be a lender. Amen. And not a borrower. I want the bank paying me instead of me paying the bank. I like interest. I like that. I like it on my side. It just feels good. Write this down. No one in Christ should be half in church and half in the world. No one in Christ should be half in church and half in the world. You cannot confess his name in church and deny him to the world. How can you confess that you are Christian and you don't live like a Christian supposed to live? Do you know that most of Christianity does that? Because they're cooked on one side and raw on the other. They have mixed themselves up with the world that they can't tell what's God and what's not. Some people don't know the difference between a demon-possessed person and a kid that's ate too much sugar. I have been in service. These people are so spiritually illiterate. My Lord, if they saw somebody go, they got a demon. No, maybe they're cold. Don't know the difference between a medical problem and a spiritual problem. Why? Because they cooked on one side and raw on the other. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me say it again. No one in Christ should be half in church and half in the world. You cannot confess his name in church and deny him to the world. People say, well, Brother Jesse, you're talking about Jesus anywhere. Why? Because I am a Christian. I'm in Christ, not in Christ's. Do you see that? That doesn't mean the devil don't fight me, but I refuse to be a part of what I came out of. Why do I want to go back to the world? Like I've said so many times, what in hell do I want? What does hell have to offer? Do you notice that every time somebody thinks that sin's okay, even though God says it's not, it all has to do with a feeling? Like one person told me, well, I live an alternate lifestyle. Oh, Lord Jesus. Now, here we go. I'm going to get some ugly letters on this. But that's all right. I got some ugly glasses to read some ugly letters. Your sexual preference shouldn't define everything you do. Amen. Oh, you hear what I'm saying? Amen. But if you notice, on that other side, the homosexual said, oh, I'm going to make all y'all mad. I'm not against homosexuals. I'm just telling you the truth. I like you. I don't have a problem. I just want you to go to heaven. You're probably a good person. I don't doubt that you're a good person. But see, you believe the lie. And if you notice, everything you do is defined by your sexuality. You got to have a gay parade. Well, why can't you be happy at any parade? Does that make any sense? Everything is defined by that particular alternate lifestyle, when it shouldn't be. Because your sexuality doesn't determine who you are. It's your spirit that determines who you are. Well, I was born that way. Check your equipment. No, you what? Just check your equipment. Go to the bathroom right now and check your equipment. You'll find out that you were born a man or you were born a woman. Anything else is not correct. Now, you can force it all. When you first drink hard liquor, it goes. But if you keep drinking it, you'll make your body like it. And it will kill your liver. It's called cirrhosis. Some people have cirrhosis of the giver. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. So no one in Christ should be half in church and half in the world. You cannot confess his name in church and deny him to the world. So I stand up for what I believe. I still believe immorality is a sin. Fornication's a sin. Adultery's a sin. Stealing's a sin. Breaking your word is a sin. Loving somebody or separating someone because of their color is a sin. God never ever instituted the word segregation. He didn't create that. Man did that after the curse, so that one species of man would make him think that he's better because of the color of his skin. That's just so silly. And it caused hatred that is still encompassing this world. It's terrible. And it's wrong. I don't know why people can't figure that out. I've said it here. I got to say it again in this message. You can shut down all prejudice in one generation. Completely. Over with. Don't tell your children they're white. Don't tell them they're black. Don't tell them they're brown. Now, you ought to be proud of your culture. I'm not talking about that. Bless God, culture is a wonderful thing. Just tell them they're children. And if you go to a nursery, you'll prove what I just said. You got little black babies, brown baby, red baby, white baby, yellow baby. They're all looking at each other like this. They all like each other until you come in the room. And tell them something different. See, cooked on one side, raw on the other. Now, let's just face it. All of us have our preferences. It's like going to a restaurant. That's why they got so many different things on the menu. There's some things on the menu at Zia's I will never order. And I think, my God, why would anybody order that? But you know, I've seen people order it and I go, they need healing. Something is wrong. That ain't no good. And they probably think, why would he eat that? And what, you know, but that's the reason why there's a menu. So you can minister or, quote, help anyone get what they like. Write this down. Beware of an elastic conscience. Beware of an elastic conscience. Don't let the world or the church that's mixed up in the world stretch your consciousness of what God is and what is right and what is wrong. Beware of an elastic conscience. How do you know when somebody has one? Number one, it produces a decreased sensitivity to evil. A decreased sensitivity to evil. After a while, evil is not evil no more. Three's Company. Funny show. But notice what it's putting behind it. It's a decreased sensitivity to evil. A decreased longing for Christ. Notice that people are not coming to church much. That's an elastic conscience. It's a decreased longing for Christ to come to his house when he says, come together. come and assemble. Come, let us come together. In other words, a corporate faith can flow. A decreased interest in the operations and interests of his church. A decreased interest in the operations and interest of his church. That's an elastic conscience. Let me say it again. Beware of an elastic conscience. Number one, it produces a decreased sensitivity to evil. Do you know I still abhor evil? A decreased longing for Christ. Even though my body's tired right now, I have a longing for Christ. I just got to go. Even if I wouldn't have preached, I mean, I'd have heard pastor. And the sermon he's going to preach in a couple weeks, going to really bless you. He just gave me a few points on it. In the back, I said, Lord, geez, that's good. But we have a longing for Christ. A decreased interest in the operations and interest of his church. I know, I don't care what Covenant Church is doing. They can do it by themselves. When God told us all, he never wants, we are sons that serve. He never took away our servanthood from us. That's an elastic conscience. That's cooked on one side and raw on the other. And it's got so prevalent in the church that now we got ministers that should not be preaching the gospel at all. Amen. Not that God doesn't forgive them, because they don't have the character or the integrity to hold that holy office. Amen. Not that God can't forgive them. Well, what about David? Okay, David was the king of Israel. But look what Dave, look at the price David paid for that foolishness. Lost his son hanging in a tree by his hair. You can imagine what that looked like, huh? My God. Run off of his throne. That man had more trouble. All because his conscience got pulled one way and pulled another. Cooked on one side and raw on the other. I will never, ever again be a part of the world. In my business life, in my spirit life, in my physical life. I will not. Because it will decrease things. And then you'll begin to criticize the church from which you get strength. I don't like that, and I don't like that. Well, we understand that, but you see, that's what's happening. You see, is that Satan getting inside, trying to get you to look this way? I've had some of our wonderful people here that are of color, and I hate that. They go, you know, of color. What color? We're all colored. I say, you white, Bridget. No, I'm not white. Look at me. This is white. Can you? Now you see the difference, do you? But I do have a color. We're all colored. White's a color. You know, whatever. I don't know. Y'all ought to, women ought to know about coloring. Look at your hair. How many times you go down there and spend tons of money, and some of you got several colors of hair. You have them, whatever you call it. I don't know, stripe it. I don't know, look like a zebra. I don't know what it is. I don't know, yeah. The women with the straight hair want the curly hair. The women with the curly hair want the straight hair. It's amazing. Tina Turner wanted to have white hair. Like a white person's hair. Boy, and then she come out, boy. And man, there's nothing wrong with that. Is that what you want? That's just such a blessing. And in this generation, it used to, man, people didn't like men that lost their hair. But now bald is in. I mean, it's in, boy. In fact, you see people, some men with hair, you go, what's your problem? Just shave that baby. I've been wanting to shave my head for a long time. Cassie, you ain't not shaving that head. Yeah. Why? Because I don't like messing with my hair. I don't like all that. Easier the better for me, son. I just throw a cap on, I'm out of there. That's a wonderful thing. Well, people say, Brother Jesse, you're in the world, but you're not of it. But how do you operate in the world? Well, when somebody hates you, when somebody gets mad at you, write it down. When a man pleases God, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now that's Proverbs 16:7. You can go read that scripture a little later. When a man pleases God, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. My enemies are at peace with me. Why? Because I've pleased the Lord. Because I decide to cook both sides of me. Now watch this. When a man pleases God, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. When he displeases God, he leaves him in the hands of his enemies. When you displease God, he leaves you in the hands of your enemies, and your enemy will kick you and beat your brains out. But when a man pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Yeah, but if you displease God, he leaves you with your enemies. Because God does not take wrong and mix it with right. if you want to disobey, he's given you that, for lack of a better term, honor to do it if you want to disobey him. But I would choose a different path if I was you. So let me say it again. Some of you are writing it down. When a man pleases God, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's Proverbs 16:7. When he displeases God, he leaves him in the hands of his enemies. Now, why did God give me this sermon? Cooked on one side, raw on the other. Because, you know, people all over the world ask me, what are you seeing out there, Brother Jesse? I'm seeing a mixture of God and Satan. And people are coming up with something that they call secular humanism. That's exactly what that is. After all, man is his creator. Everything is designed to pull out the law of God. And you know, God's laws are not hard. He says, thou shalt not steal. If you ever had anything stolen from you, it just makes you feel so bad. Why would people do that? You work so hard for something. Thou shalt not commit adultery. When you find that in your marriage, that hurts so much. It's terrible. And that's why God said, if you want this woman, sign the contract so you'll be responsible to her. You know, these laws are not very hard. Love your neighbor. That's a little hard. And maybe the reason why you don't love them, because you don't know them. Do not covet. And then maybe you do know them, and now you figure out, bless God, can't say, well, maybe you might know them too, and you don't like them. But you still got to love them. And he said, you have to like them. He said, don't covet. Don't covet what somebody has. So don't criticize somebody who has something you might want. Be glad that somebody you know got it. These are not very hard to understand. You see what I'm saying? Write this down. The more we are cooked on both sides, the more readily we acknowledge the imperfection of our nature. I have some imperfections in my nature. Let me say it again. The more we are cooked on both sides, the more readily we acknowledge the imperfection of our nature. You see, cooked on one side, wrong on the other. So I flipped myself over. But I found out that I was cooking the raw side, Tommy. There were some imperfections there that needed to be cooked out of my life. You want a prime example? Now, most preachers never tell you this. When I got saved, I had to learn a new language. That's what Kathy said. And it wasn't tongues. It was English. Because my language was a language of cussing. Every word, almost every other word I'd say was cussing. Cussing. Now, when I got born again, I thought Christians loved everybody. I found out different. Because they were cooked on one side and raw on the other. And then sometimes people begin to make me mad. And I just could not express to them what I felt unless I used certain words. I can tell y'all had the same problem. That's an imperfection. In other words, instead of saying, why don't you leave? Oh, that's not right. There were other words that just made me feel good when I said it. You. And Kathy, this is when I first got saved. And Kathy gets so mad at me. You're saved and you use that language. I said, it's the only way I can express me. I see I'm mixing up the world. It's the only way I can express myself of how I feel. Even to people you love, like your children. Don't do that. You know. Till one day, Kathy got angry. And out of that beautiful face and that mouth come some imperfections. I looked at her and went, I don't do it as much as you. Now that's the accuser of the brethren. That's the devil right there. One time we were riding a motorcycle in Colorado and we were following Kenneth and Gloria. We had our helmets on with all the things, you know, so we could talk to each other. And I didn't realize it, but my finger, you have to press down so you can, my finger was on my key, you know, I was just resting it like, and I pressed down, but I pressed it down to where Kenneth and Gloria could hear what we were talking about, which I did not know. And this guy pulled out in front of me. I mean, I hit both brakes. I mean, a bike's going sideways and I'm holding up trying to, it's fishtailing. I know how to handle a bike pretty good, you know. I got Kathy in the back. And Kathy. Well, I almost just said the way I know what I heard. That's all I can say. I just know what I heard. Anyway. Kathy let out an expletive. Equalism, you call it. Yeah, so, and we saw, look, we saw Kenneth Copeland's shoulders doing this. Just laughing. And then I said, oh God. Look, I took my mask and said, Kathy, they heard everything. They did forgive her. Brother Copeland said, I was thinking the same thing myself. He didn't say it, but you can see his shoulders like that. Little innocent Kathy. That was so funny. And I went to them and said, I told you she's like that. She's just like that. Y'all always looking at me. I'm telling you, man. So the more we are cooked on both sides, the more readily we acknowledge the imperfection of our nature. So, if you happen to do that, I mean, don't criticize yourself. Just tell people, I'm still a little raw. And I need a little bit more cooking. But don't make that an excuse. You see what I'm saying? I'm still a little raw. Now, I've used the same thing, too. Oh, you mean that you can't be the brother? Oh, no, man. Man, I got some words that I created myself. But they're wrong. So I look at certain things. I had one man say, you're too generous. One of my employees said, my God, man. Well, if I'm generous to a fault, I'd rather be generous to a fault than stingy to a fault. Do you know what I'm saying? I'd rather be on that side of it. But really, both sides are wrong. You have to be balanced. Now, a lot of people don't like that word balance, but it's a very powerful word. Write this down. Loyalty to our convictions must be tempered with toleration for the conviction of others. Has someone else's convictions ever made you mad? Yeah, it's common sense. See, cooked on one side, raw on the other. It tells you both of y'all a little raw. Let me say it again. Loyalty to our convictions must be tempered with toleration for the conviction of others. There are some people who have certain convictions that I think are the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. They said the Lord gave them to them. I don't know if that's really true or not. But since they think that and believe that, I'm like Paul, the apostle. If meat offends you, I won't eat any. But I'll go to the next town and buy me a steak. But I won't do it in front of you. Not that you're hiding. See, you have to be tolerable. You have to be tolerable to other people's convictions. You see what I'm saying? So let me say, loyalty to our convictions must be tempered with toleration for the conviction of others. Kathy has some different convictions than I do. And I used to think, why am I going to? And I'd get a little irritated. And then vice versa. I have convictions that she doesn't have. Why? Because even though we're one, we're still two people. But yet we're two in one. What if you really think about it, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, all have different manifestations of the work that they do. Jesus never crosses over to the Father's side of his work or the Holy Spirit, vice versa. They're in perfect order. Perfect order. You see what I'm saying? So I've learned to be let my own loyalty to my conviction be tempered with a toleration for others. You see what I'm saying? Until, not till they change, maybe till I change. You see what I'm saying? Both of us need not change, but what we need to do is be tolerant of each other. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, I'll give you an example. I'm the kind of person that if you like what you do, I like you. I've learned that, you know. I never was, even when I was a sinner, criticized fat people. I remember some of my friends used to criticize fat girls going to school. You know how kids are. They can be pretty cruel sometimes. And I'd say, boy, Jesse, You like them all, don't you? I said, I like them all. Why? Because I never saw a person as a fat person. I saw a person as a person. A person with feelings. You understand what I'm saying? And I said this before. I have to say this again. I had a friend of mine. I want to tell you, he was brutal. He was brutal on fat people. He was brutal on fat girls. He wasn't brutal on fat guys. He didn't like them neither, but he was really brutal. He said, I will never, ever, ever date or marry a fat girl. Boy, and he would just, and I mean, he said it and it hurt a lot of girls' feelings. You know, I believe the Lord just said, we're going to show this boy something. This boy fell in love with a girl so fat. Now, she's a beautiful woman, but she was fat, partner. I mean, you could hear a pantyhose when she walked. And not just up at the top, all the way down to the ankles. That girl was fat, so. But she was pretty. He fell in love with her. I saw him years later. I went, hey, man. He said, I couldn't help it. I don't know what happened to me. I just love her. I said, well, that's the way it was supposed to be from the very beginning. I said, you were cold and brutal. I said, and of all our friends at our high school reunion, you got the fattest wife. And she's the most wonderful person. I said, I am so glad she's fat. He said, I love every pound, every 100 pounds. I love it all. She was one big girl. She was the sweetest. She's the sweetest lady. I mean, but I just razzed him and I thought, well, God got a sense of humor. You know what I'm saying? Because you see, he never looked beyond growing up. He never looked beyond what he saw. See, so the Lord, now he understands. You know, you'd be surprised how many people just jump your case about something. I don't like what you wear. Well, don't look at it. Well, why do you wear it? Because I like it. Well, it ain't right. It is to me. You see my point? Cooked on one side, raw on the other. Write this down. Man is a spirit with divine capabilities and possibilities. Man is a spirit. When I mean mankind, including women. Man is a spirit with divine capabilities and possibilities. It's okay to desire bread, business, and pleasure. It's okay. But don't forget to mix God's character and conscience with them. I do desire bread. I do desire business. I do desire pleasure. But I've learned to mix them with God, his character, and the conscience that he gives me toward that. Let me say it again. Man is a spirit with divine capabilities and possibilities. It's okay to desire bread, business, and pleasure. But don't forget to mix God, character, and conscience with them. So when I have pleasure, and I do have pleasure, I mix God with it. Character and conscience. Me and Kathy go on vacation, so we want to go somewhere, do something. We have pleasure, we have fun, we enjoy each other, you know, we enjoy where we're going or whatever. But we always mix God. We never take God out of our vacation. As much as I preach, we put God, his character, and our conscience in everything. When we desire bread, we go to a restaurant. We do pray over our food, and we don't care if anybody sees us pray over it. And we'll make the waiter wait till we finish praying. Why? Because we desire bread. When I do business, and I do business, I am a businessman, I do business, but I mix God, his character, and my conscience and his conscience with it. So when I do business, my word is my bond. Because if God's word doesn't return void, neither should Jesse's. When I say something, I ought to believe Psalms 84. Psalms, you know, what it says, my covenant will I not break. Psalms 89, verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that goes out of my lips. If I say something, I must do what I say. Even if I said it wrong and I miss God on it, the Bible said you swear to your own hurt. Do you see that? Why? Now that's mixing God, character, and conscience with your business. So if you are a business person, if you're in the contracting business, or if you're in the bank business, when you do business, but you mix God with it. and you mix his character with it. You be just as honorable to them like you want them to be honorable to you. Or, you know, doing to others as others, you know, the golden rule. That's a wonderful thing. See, and then you realize you're being cooked on both sides. You see, let me say it again. Man is a spirit with divine capabilities and possibilities. It's okay. I like that. To desire bread, business, and pleasure. But don't forget to mix God, character, and conscience with him. See, so everything me and Kathy do, we mix God, character, and conscience with it. I'm a movie person. I like movies. I very seldom have watched a lot of television other than the news. I don't know what series are playing on television. I don't watch any of that. I'm not saying it's bad. I just don't watch it. When they say CR, CSI, I don't even know what that means. I've never watched one episode. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just telling you. Me, I'm going to watch Headline News. I'm going to watch Fox News. I'm going to watch Channel 4, Channel 6, Channel 8. You know, little thing. I may watch the History Channel. I like that Discovery Channel. Lord Jesus. I like that kind of stuff. But most of the time, if I sit down, I will watch a movie. Kathy and Christine went over to see my grandbaby there, yesterday, baby was. Well, Kathy said, you need to rest. So I slept a little while on the couch, you know, just trying to rest myself. And I got up and I just turned on a movie. I like movies. But I also, a movie can be rated, but I've seen some movies that were rated with a pretty rough rating, but they wasn't rough. I don't know where they got that at. And then I seen some that was badly rated that, Lord, geez, this should have not even played the thing. So there's times that me and Kat, well, you might have seen it. Maybe you've been in the theater with us. I don't know. We'd go to see a movie we thought we liked. We're sitting there. And I mean, it really begins to get bad about something. And so me and Kathy just look at each other. We just get up and walked out. Yeah, but you paid for it. So why? Because I could not mix God, character, and conscience with this thing was putting before my eyes. Do you see my point? So, but I didn't know that. I even read the reviews. Oh, is this, that, and okay. And I go to watch. No, whoa, we out of here. We don't mind walking out. We don't mind walking out at all. Just that simple. You see what I'm saying? Because the Bible said, watch what you put before your eyes and things of that nature. Write this down. It is not that man has no knowledge of the fact that his cake has not been turned. You know if your cake is raw on one side. Let me say it again. It's not that man has a knowledge of the fact that his cake has not been turned, but that he does not reflect upon it. If you know you got a character flaw and you don't do nothing about it, you're the problem. If you're waiting for God to fix that when he gave you that ability within yourself to do it. So it's not that a man has no knowledge or a person has no knowledge of the fact that his cake has not been turned, but that he does not reflect upon it. See, so I'm always constant. I don't like, you ever heard people say, everybody got their old ugly ways? Remember that? Hear that statement? Everybody got their old ugly ways, but they don't have to be. I know everybody's got them, but they don't have to be. You can turn the cake over and cook it a little bit. You see what I'm saying? You know. And you know, sometimes we blame it on culture. We blame it on the way we were raised. Well, that don't mean make it right. You're just raised wrong in some areas. Well, mama taught me that. Well, mama wasn't perfect. But thank God she was mama. Thank God you had a mother. That's a blessing of the Lord. But my point is, you know, as you grow older, you begin to think, wait a minute. I need to fix this. This is not right. I need to fix this. And there's nothing wrong with that. There ain't a thing wrong with that. But if you don't reflect upon it, like you've heard me say, I want to be a reflection of Christ instead of casting a reflection upon him. Yes. You know why I haven't committed adultery? Not because I hadn't had the opportunity to do so. Did I shock you? I ain't the ugliest man in the world. What are you laughing at? Because I first would bring a reflection upon Christ that would be God awful. I would destroy my ministry. I would destroy your trust in me. I would destroy my marriage, and I would not live very long. I'd be a dead man. Kathy said, I'll kill you dead. That's the only way it can happen. I'll kill you dead. Kathy got the powder raised from dead. She'd kill you again. No, that is so asinine. I refuse to do that. You see what I'm saying? That's the reason why. I'm like Joseph in that manner. How can I do this wickedness and sin against my God? Ooh, that's a great statement in the Bible. That shows you why he was a prime minister, from a slave to a prime minister. I show you why God called Joseph a fruitful bough that hung over the wall. Lord Jesus, that was character there. You see what I'm saying? Beware of spiritual inconsistency and spiritual blindness. Why, Brother Jesse? there are signs of partial conversion. Spiritual inconsistency and spiritual blindness are signs of partial conversion. Cooked on one side, raw on the other. Beware of spiritual inconsistency and spiritual blindness. There are signs of partial conversion. I want my whole life cooked that if anybody ever takes a bite of my life or a bite of my ministry, it will be substance to their soul.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? Spiritual, be with spiritual inconsistency and spiritual blindness. Can I say this? The Lord said, say it. If you go into a church where your pastor's constantly messing up, chasing women, blood, God, and you are spiritually blind and you become spiritual inconsistent and you're now living a partial conversion. Now, I know the scriptures they're going to use, you know, God forgives it. And you know what he writes when nobody remembers. But you see, the Bible says he that does not practice sin. That's what it says. Practicing sin. My God, man, you're going to get the devil to beat your brains out and you're going to bring thousands of people with you. You see what I'm saying? That's a sign of partial conversion. Let me say this in close. And to the scientific community, listen to what I'm saying here. Because I understand science. I understand every bit of it. I mean, I know what science does. I'm not a dummy. I mean, I love information. But listen to this. Science fixes its gaze on matter. Everything has to do with something of a physical substance. Matter. Science fixes its gaze on matter, but cannot see the mind that is everywhere behind the matter. They can't see the mind that is everywhere behind the matter. Science fixes its gaze on matter. If you look at this astronomy, I'm very interested in the planets and God's creation of the universe. We have dark energy. We have dark matter. Now, you know, we're always looking at the planets and the stars. What's moving these things? What is that darkness? Is it just void? No. Now they're beginning to realize that something is moving something somewhere. So they call it dark matter or dark energy. You see what I'm saying? Space is very empty compared to the amount of dark matter and dark energy we have, compared to the amount of planets or solar systems we have. And we have 100 billion planet moons and stars and 100 billion galaxies with 100 billion planet moons and stars in each one of them. And yet, space is only maybe 10% full because everything else around it. So now we're beginning to realize, you know, as we science looks at that, there's something there. What is this dark energy? What is this dark matter? Well, they still don't know. So we come up with theories. Then we put a mathematical equation to it. Now, that's science. It's all done with a universal language called math. We put a mathematical equation to work it out. We build a program or we build a computer with a program to assimilate what we think happened. How did our moon come into existence? Was it really a part of the earth? Or was there another planet that collided with the earth, spun around and coalesced because of the heat? Now, we can get into all kinds of stuff here. Coalesced with all the heat and the gases all of a sudden begin to, it was just nothing but gas. Then as they begin to come together and coalesce, it formed the planets. That you can take rock and heat it enough to where rock turns into what we call rock vapor. Well, it's the same thing with water. Water's liquid, but it can also be solid. And it also can be gas. It just depends on the different amounts of heat that are applied to it. So I'm not against math. I'm not against science or math. But what I can't get over is our great scientific minds can't see the mind behind the matter. So they say it just happened. Now, that's ignorance going to seed. Nothing just happened. I didn't just get married. We developed a relationship, a fellowship, and then a responsibility to each other. And you can take this sermon in your own marriage. After, as you grow older, you begin to get cooked on both sides. When you first get married, especially if you're a Cajun in my generation, you know what my grandfather used to tell me? You tell that woman what to do, boy. My daddy did too for a while. You tell that woman what to do.
You're the man of this house.
That was ego and pride. Why was it okay for a boy born to a family to mess around with girls, but it wasn't okay for a girl born to a family to mess around with boys? That the father would look at the boy and say, well, I just know, man. Hey, boy, don't do that. Boy, but if you caught his girl, she was no good. That's wrong. That's inconsistent. Inconsistencies. Then women wanted to have the same rights as men, but they should have had. All of a sudden, you should have the same rights, but you should become a man. Why do you want to become a dog? Isn't men like dogs? They see a woman, a dog gonna get through that fence. What's wrong with being polite? What's wrong with letting somebody open up a door for you? What's wrong with social graces? Isn't that something? What's wrong with that? Not a thing. Not a thing at all. But now, used to you couldn't cuss. If you cussed in front of a woman, boy, if a woman walked through a door, but everybody shut up. If men were cussing, they'd just quit because they showed honor to the female species. Now, these girls can cuss better than most men. They call it being cool. They ain't being cool. It's called decay. Degeneration. You see what I'm saying? Cooked on one side and raw on the other. See, so I made up my mind, and I'll say this in close. We're going to receive our offering in just a minute. Why are you a tither? Because I'm cooked on both sides. Oh, my love got perfected. What do you mean? I don't have a fear that I can't. Because most people say, I can't do that because I won't be able to pay my bills. I understand that. And maybe in the situation you're in right now, it looked like that. But the minute you stop sowing seed of any kind is the minute you stop growing a harvest. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's just simply the truth. That's in everything. If you quit having children, your family ceases to be. Yeah. Yeah. See why? Because seed has not been sown to produce a harvest. That's my whole point. So when the Lord said this, he said, Jesse, the church has been mixed up with the world. They're just like Ephraim. And you know what? People don't even know the difference. And the world has become so strong that you girls that want to buy a pair of jeans, you can't find one to fit you. They're so low. Am I telling the truth? I'm not talking about being out of style, you know, have overalls up to your neck. I ain't talking about that, you know. But if that's what you want, that's fine. But I'm saying you can't even find a style that covers your body. Am I correct? So if you need some jean material, take some from them guys. They got 14 extra yards of pants they don't need. They got 14 extra yards. Do you see my point? Now that's sad. It's funny, but it's sad. Because we're letting the world dictate to us when it's time for the church to dictate what God says. Did you enjoy it? Praise God.